time now to go to Sunday school with the professor.
Hey, Professor, take it easy, will you?
Giants third base coach Ron Wotus with Marty Lorio.
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
On your home of Giants baseball.
Good answer. Like the way you think.
KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
Brought to you by River Islands, one of the country's top-selling master plan communities just across the Altamont in Lathrop. Where else can you live on a lake, next door to a park, or walking distance to your kid's new school? With 10 new neighborhoods, River Islands is the one place you can't afford to miss.
All right, nice to be with you on this Sunday morning. As you know, that is the intro to the professor. He is the third base coach of the Giants, longest tenured coach in the Giants' history, and that is the professor Ron Wotus. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm well this morning. Good morning to you, Carmen, Allie, and the listeners on this final day of the season.
We have a guest here, too.
And yes, Mike Phillips, the Fish Taco King, Coconuts Fish Cafe. For those of you that don't know it, there's one in Sacramento, Cupertino, and he started in Hawaii, Maui. There's several over there. But anyways, we're happy to have him, and I'm looking forward to the show today.
Yeah, what a day as I opened up. I'm not sure we've had a day like this. Certainly at this ballpark, you've had a lot of thrills and World Series championships and all, Bonds disappearing and Pence, Kane, and some saying goodbye, but not like this one.
No. I've never been here when we had the retirement of a manager, and certainly Boch's accomplishments speak for himself. 13 years, I was here with Dusty for 5 seasons and Felipe with 4. But this has been 13 seasons with Boch, with 3 world championships. I'm excited for the day. I mean, yesterday was a great day. I got to see all the Willie Mack Award winners. I'll tell you, there were some very good baseball players in that dugout on Friday night, I should say, before the game. And it's just so great to see the ex-players, guys that you've worked with, and it just brings a smile to your face. And we're going to see more of that today because there's a lot of surprises in store.
Yeah, it's going to be some day today. You bring up the Willie Mack. Let's touch on that for just a second. Pilar got it. And I think the most impressive thing for me was he was here for like 154 games. He played 153 of them. When do we see that?
Yeah, you don't see that much anymore. Yeah. I think Hunter Pence was the last guy that was doing that for us. And then, with the more planned off days and trying to keep people as productive as possible and the sports science getting involved, guys don't play every day anymore. And greatly deserved by Kevin. You think of Kevin and you see a guy diving all around the field. And I love him because, he can hit a homer. He's going to dive all over the field and he can steal a base. So he has a lot of weapons to help you win a ball game. And real happy for him. He's done a great job for our Giants.
Are you old enough to remember the TV show Superman? Probably not.
Superman, of course.
Oh, you do?
Yes, Superman and
Look
Batman. We
sky.
Had Batman at the stadium. Yes.
Yeah, it's a bird. It's a plane.
It's
Superman.
Yeah. It's Superman.
Yeah, he dives like that. It's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's, if he's close enough to catch the ball, he catches the ball. And that's what you like. He's never afraid to leave his feet. And if you think about how many times he dived, I can't remember the ball getting beyond him for a triple or an inside the park home run. It's easy to dive in the infield. The outfielder's behind you. But when you're going into right center and you dive for the ball and you don't get it, it's a home run or a triple.
Boy, interesting. And I like the fact that he shows up every day. The key to life, I say, is showing up every day. And in baseball today, with all the ideas, and we've talked about this, of rest and all the things that, the analytics of rest have come into baseball, this guy shows up.
Yes, he does. And when I was drafted in 79 and went to my rookie ball, our manager, Woody Heike, sat us all down and he told us the Wally Pipp story. You have to know the difference between being injured and playing with pain. And he said it was your job to maintain and hold down. And you don't want to lose the lineup because when you do, you're giving somebody else an opportunity to take his job. Well, he's certainly throwback in that regard. Okay. He wants to be in there. And he performs every day. He's not just going through the motions. And there's a difference. And he's been fantastic.
Very good. I'm glad we covered that. The Willie Mack Award winner. And that is Kevin Pillar for 2019. Let's go to school with the professor. It's Sunday morning. There was a play at second base where Dubon got hit as he was fielding the ball, and Bochy came out, argued a little bit, and I thought this was an interesting play for baseball and you know the rules and stuff. Take us through that play.
Well, the fielder has a right to field the ball. The runner has to avoid the fielder. And so, you know, Dubon coming in to catch the ground ball, the runner, I think it was Walters with Colorado, ran straight into him. Right. And that's interference. He interfered with him. So he is out. And the batter's out, and the runner goes back. But it possibly could have been a double play as well if, the runner is out and the batter gets to first base there. It could have been a double play if the umpires deemed it intentional, okay, or he had the ball and he went to tag him and he ran him over. And now he couldn't make the throw to first. So it was only the one out, but it's the umpire's judgment on whether he could have had a double play on the ball or not. And their judgment on that play, he really didn't have much of a play at first. Of course, he was laying on the ground at that point. But I think they got the play right. There's no question about it.
I understand. So the normal consequence of the play, if it would have been a double play, you call the double play. Or if he intentionally knocked him down, you can call the double play.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. Okay,
exactly.
Very good. Very, yeah. Well spoken. Hey, you've been the professor for so long, and you've educated so many people who listen to the show, and it's a destination for so many in the Bay Area to hear you every Sunday morning. But we really never heard from your pupils, your students, the people out there. You're the professor. So we went around and talked to a few different people, and I thought we'd play some of those comments this morning and get your thoughts about the player and how you taught them and what they have to say. So Carmen was nice enough to sit down with Brandon Belt. So here's Brandon Belt talking about the professor.
Carmen Q here with Brandon Belt. I want to talk to you a little bit about Ron Wotus. Starting off, what kind of coach is Ron Wotus?
He's a great coach, and he's one of those guys that I view as a perfectionist. And I think that's a really good thing, because that helps us ball players get to where we need to be. Where I'm a lot better ball player because of Ron Wotus than before I came into this league. And it's because he, just like Boach in his role, but Ron Wotus demands the best out of me, and he's not going to let me give up. He's not going to let me be content, be complacent. He's going to make sure I keep working. And I'm so thankful that he has been my coach for the past 9 seasons or however many, because if he wasn't, I wouldn't be the defensive player that I am today. I truly believe because of him that I'm able to affect the game by my defense. And, he's kind of shown me the way as far as that goes. And I'm very appreciative of what he's done for me.
So we call him the professor on our show because, again, he is such a teacher. Is there something specific that he taught you that you'll always carry with you throughout the games?
You know, I think a lot of it just has to do with routine and making sure you get out there every day. And, you know, like I said, don't become complacent, because that's when you start to, fail a little bit more. And, obviously that's what we're trying to avoid. But he's one of those guys that he just wanted me to get out there and have a routine, no matter how I was feeling. Just get out there, take a few ground balls, get into the routine of making plays at first and making throws a second and stuff like that. And I think doing that stuff has really kept me on top of my game over the years, and that's something that I'll probably always remember.
And just in a last couple final words, what does he mean to you?
He means a lot to me. As I touched on a little bit earlier, I know for a fact I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for Ron Wotus. I believe he's turned me into a gold glove caliber first baseman. And I don't have any hardware to prove that right now, but I don't need it. And he knows that. So he's put me in this situation. He's helped me take care of my family now. He's been a big part of that. And he's shown me that I can, affect the outcomes of games by how I play on defense. He's taught me how to separate my offense from my defense so I don't take a bad at bat out into the field. And he's just been there the whole time. If I ever needed anything, I just can't say enough about what he's done for me. I could probably sit here all day and just think of things that he's done and how he's helped me. But honestly, that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I'm so appreciative for what he's done, and I hope I get to be around him for a long time.
Okay, thank you very much, Brandon.
All right, thank you.
Well, that's the first baseman. What do you think of that?
Well, that always brings a smile to your face. I've been very fortunate to have Brandon Belt as a first baseman because he is so talented and he can do so many things and has so many weapons as a first base, as he talked about. But, you know, that's what it's about. Look, that's thank you for talking to him, Carmen. Obviously, you know, that's feedback you don't hear every day, and brings a smile to your face. And that's a big reason why we do this, you know, to help somebody get better. And if you can help them a little bit and help them improve their game and make a living, you feel like you've done your job. So it was great to hear. Thank you.
Yeah. And also, what did you think of him when he first came up? Because obviously we see him today, really the finished product. What was he like when you first got him? And then I remember him as a hitter those days. He sprayed the ball all over the park. But what is it about it as a hitter?
Well, as a coach, you know, you remember your first encounter with the players. And mine with him, you know, I heard about him and his skills, and he was a slick fielding first baseman. And we were on the backfield in Scottsdale Stadium in the spring before the team showed up. You know, he was there early. And a bunch of guys were taking ground balls. And I remember the first day I hit ground balls to him, I was really, really pleased. It brought a smile to my face then because he was smooth. He had all the skills. He had the arm. You know, he reminded me of, I think even threw out the name JT Snow to him at that point in time, because he had the equipment to be an outstanding defender. And you see that right away. And then the rest of it is just up to him and his hard work that he's put in to hone his game. And he's done that. He's been very coachable, very approachable, and has made himself one of the best first basemen in baseball.
Yeah, I remember that backfield. I was there. I remember that.
You remember that day?
Oh, yeah. I remember that day, the first time we saw him in that backfield. I remember that.
Yeah. Now, those are fun days because you get to spring training early. There's a lot of players there. They're chomping at the bit. Yeah. You know, you want to get going, and it's always exciting to see one of your prospects or new players that you expect to be a part of the Giants for a long, long time. And, you know, you kind of licking your chops to get a look at them and to be able to work it with them as well.
What a 2019 this has been. And we talk about Scottsdale and being on the backfield in February and hitting ground balls, which you guys do. The coaching staff is unbelievable. Even till yesterday. And there was a high strike on Vogt, and Bochy was screaming at the umpire in the ninth inning. And I'm sure you were at third base as well, and everyone else. Well, you guys just work so hard, so I just want to point that out. Even in game 161 in the ninth inning, there was a high strike on Vogt that changed the inning around.
Yeah.
But you guys are all over it. But 2019, we never know what a season's going to be like. As we say, we start off way back in Scottsdale. Good storyline, favorite storyline for you of this year? Things maybe we didn't expect?
Well, you know, I think where we're at right now, obviously we wanted to be better, but despite all our movement and all our changes, I think there's a lot of positives to take away from this season. You know, going into the season, we knew we were challenged in certain areas, and I think Farhan has answered some questions in a couple of areas that we have to move forward with. I think the July run that we had right before the trading deadline was really an exclamation point on how this team went about its business and played the game. And we weren't able to keep up that run, but we kept competing, as you just mentioned. And, you know, we found some players in Yastrzemski. We found Dubon through a trade. So I think going into next year, we're in better shape than we were going into this year. And I think they have a little more payroll flexibility to keep improving the team. You know, if you're not going to win a division or get to the playoffs, you want to get better for the next season. And we moved a lot of players through here, but we found some good ones, and I think we've accomplished that.
When Farhan came in, they used the phrase next gen, generation, you know, all that kind of stuff. Has it changed for you analytically? Because you're the analytical guy. All the information gets funneled to you, that, and you'll hear more about some of your pupils talking about this. The information then gets funneled from you to the pupils, and that's the defense. Has it changed this year from years past?
Yeah, I think we're heavier into it, just not in my area, but, you know, Kurt Young getting information on the pitchers and Alonzo Powell and Rick Shue getting information on the hitters. We have two guys helping us instead of one in the analytic department, and they've done a great job. Mike and Jack have done an outstanding job. You know, they're there to make our jobs easier. And you only have so much time as a major league coach. You know, it depends what kind of areas of responsibility you have. There's so much time in a day. And in today's game, it takes a lot of time to prepare for that major league game if you want to do it right. And they've helped tremendously in that area, giving us information, trying to point things out. And the staff, we've asked them a lot of questions to try to understand their side of it as well. So they're in the clubhouse. They've been around us. And I would say that they've been a huge help. I know for the shifts, they have been to me, you know, because he gives me his thoughts and where we should play. And then, you know, I review it and we come up with a final plan. But quite frankly, I don't know what the numbers are showing, but the shifts take away hits.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's times that balls are hit and, you know, people get upset. How could he be there? Or a double play is not turned. But the game has changed. And, you know, sometimes you're playing for an out, which is more important. If you're not there and the ball goes through, it's a hit. Mm-hmm. So the traditional way of thinking for a lot of baseball people is challenged. It's an adjustment for everybody. But at the end of the day, I think we're better for it.
All right. Ron Wotus, our third base coach, former bench coach. And I thought a little bit about you. We get more nostalgic a little bit as another season comes to an end. But you worked under Dusty, Philippe Alou, and someone who's going to be a Hall of Fame manager. And you've also won three World Series. What is Bochy like? What makes him? He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And what is it? And you've worked under different personalities. What about his personality that works for him?
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's a great players manager. He really is. He treats the players great, and he's very demanding on his staff. You know, he's a top-down type manager. And I think a couple of his strengths, you know, right away are his demeanor. You know, he's very even keel, you know, day in and day out, regardless of what happens. He doesn't overreact. He doesn't get flustered. You think about, you know, the playoffs and the World Series, where a lot of times your team will look at the manager, you know, is he panicking? What's he look like? And he's always under control in those big moments. Sure, you know, we get mad during the season here and there, and you know, you let off some steam, and I'm sure he's been caught on camera once or twice letting off some steam in the dugout. But you know, you have to have a passion for this game and want things to be done right. But those are some qualities that I think leadership needs to have, and there's no question who's in control or who's in charge on this baseball club for the past 13 years, and that's been Bruce Bochy.
Boy, interesting perspective on him. You know, one of my favorite stories is against the Phillies. I've said this on the air in the championship series when all of a sudden he handles a bullpen, and I realize that Dave Rigetti is there with him, and Hurgis and Mark Gardner. We'll never forget them because they're part of everything that happens, and you're the bench coach as well in those years. But when he chopped the Phillies up, with those lefties, and the Phillies never knew what hit them, and I don't think they ever recovered years after that.
Right.
They could never hit the lefties of the Giants bullpen. That, for me, showed me this is a team that's an underdog in every single postseason series. Every single one of them, the Giants were an underdog. There's no way they're going to win, but somehow you won, and I think the management of the bullpen was a huge part, the pitcher.
I agree 100%. I mean, that's what really, really stands out. And you mentioned Gardy and Rags, who I miss dearly. It is an emotional day, you know, thinking about these things, and you think back and where we at and what we accomplished, and Boach is retiring, and you start mentioning the old coaches. So it is an emotional day for me, but you hit the nail on the head. It's the pitching, the decisions and the moves that we made that allow us to win those World Series. You mentioned Philly. You know, you can look at the World Series with Kansas City. We're not winning those World Series if Boach doesn't make those moves with the pitching. So that's the time that matters, you know. We were prepared for it. He was prepared for it. And he made all the right moves. And that's why we have three World Series rings.
All right. Boy, this is fun. I like Sunday morning with the professor and hearing from some of the pupils. Let's hear from another one. And Raph is back at the studio and put all these together. Let's hear from Buster Posey.
Hi, Marty Lurie here, Buster Posey. Ron Wotus, and I always say, if I just say the name Ron Wotus, what comes to mind first for you?
It makes me happy to hear his name. He's a guy that I've become really close with over the last 10, 11 years. And when it comes to being prepared for a major league game, I think he's second to none. And it's probably something that people don't really get to hear about him a lot. But, I mean, even now, you know, September 26th, you'll see him walking around, finding the September call-ups, finding the everyday guys and saying, hey, guys, this is the plan. This is how we're going to pitch, blah, blah, blah. This is the strength of the outfielder's arm. This is we might be able to take a base on this. I mean, it's all encompassing, and that's why I think, and you've heard his name floated around a lot as a manager, I think he would be such a good manager.
And as a teacher, what sort of a teacher is he? And you've been around teachers and a great college coach, a famous college coach. What sort of a teacher is Wolf?
Well, I think, number one, he's got a passion for the game. I think that's what it takes to be a great teacher of anything, really, is that he has such a passion for what he's trying to explain, and he genuinely wants the person that he's trying to teach get better from some of the knowledge and wisdom that he's gained over the years. And, you know, again, it's the attention to detail. I think that he doesn't leave any stone unturned when he's trying to help somebody get better. And you know, it's interesting too to see different personalities and how some people might really embrace it, or it might rub people the wrong way. But that's never stopped him from trying to help the group get better.
You know, he met you as a very young man, and you're still relatively young, believe me. But he relates to younger players and older players, and seamlessly. I don't see much of a difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that goes back to what we talked about just a minute ago, why I think he would be such a great manager. And it's about being able to relate to the 22-year-old and the 32-year-old, the 36-year-old, and all the guys in between. And he's got a good understanding of what makes people tick at certain points of their career. And that's why he's been around for as long as he has.
Well, we call him the professor. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I think it's the hair, right? The hair, he looks like a professor.
Sure, doesn't he? Well, he claims his sister is the real professor, but she's interesting. But one other thought, a couple of thoughts for you. One, he works on the shift quite a bit. And you sit, I was thinking about you the other day. You sit back there and you've got the whole picture in front of you of all the shifts and all that. That's a little bit of his brainchild. And when it goes well, it's good. If a pitcher doesn't throw it where he wants it to be, sometimes it doesn't work. But he's kind of the architect of that.
Yeah, we try to, over the last couple of years, have tried to, when it works out, you know, give him a little shout out and say, that a boy, whoa, because I think more times than not, we point out when the shift doesn't work, and we don't point it out when it does. And Wotus, he wears it hard. If we're in a position that a guy beats the shift and maybe costs the pitcher a run, but obviously shifts work more times than not, or we wouldn't be doing it.
That's right. Yeah. Just ask the Pirates, who shift about 9,000 times a week, so we've seen that. Third base coach, you know, and you had Flan and other people as a third base coach. What's Will like as a third base coach?
He's good. He's everybody's got their different style, but just like anything else, he takes it so seriously, and he wants to know the outfielder's arms and the base runners, and he brings a calmness over there too, and I think that I mean, you could put him anywhere on a baseball field and he would excel.
Yeah, and the other thing was getting to know him as I have. He's been on with us, you know, every Sunday morning at home for a good hour. When he speaks, I want to hear what he has to say. He has that engaging personality.
Yeah, I would agree. And again, it goes back to we were saying how great a communicator he is. And unfortunately, we were both rehabbing at the same place this winter, so I got to see how engaging he was just with everybody there. Just, you know, normal people coming in from knee surgeries and whatnot, and they want to talk baseball, and he's all about talking baseball with them.
A pleasure. Very good. Thanks, Buster.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
Very good. That's terrific.
Oh, how'd you like that? Buster Posey.
Well,
the
again,
hair. He's got the hair down for the professor.
He noticed the hair. I appreciate that.
But yeah, see, it's his view as a catcher. I like that.
Yeah, no, look, you know, Buster is one of the greatest players ever to play this game, and one of the greatest Giants. I mean, he means so much to this organization, and the three World Series that, you know, he was behind the plate for all those. So we talk about Boch and the pitching moves that we made, but, you know, Buster was definitely putting down the right fingers and working with those guys. And, you know, again, we wouldn't have those rings if it wasn't for Buster. And, you know, he himself is one guy that I think could manage someday if he wanted to do that. You know, he's got a great personality, great knowledge, and, you know, really a well-rounded ball player. You know, if you look at him, and I'm talking about the person and the player, and I know everybody in this clubhouse looks to him and wants to hear his feedback and his opinion, because he's Buster Posey, you know, simply put. And it's great to hear his perspective on things. You know, you always like to get feedback and try to get better at what you do, and I appreciate his comments.
Yeah, and the shift, when it works, nobody says anything. When it doesn't work, it's like an umpire. You know, if they see you, it's not good.
Well, it's an adjustment. Look, I mean, we've been doing shifts for a long time now. I mean, we've been doing them for 7 or 8 years, and I think obviously we've shifted more this year than we ever have. And as I mentioned, Mike helping with the shifts, I think he's done an outstanding job, and it's been very, very successful. I don't know where we stack up with the league, but you know, the players are buying into it. If you ask any one of our hitters that has to deal with the shifts, they know they work. The infielders buying into it, and the pitchers are as well. I mean, there was a time that you would always get a glare from a pitcher if the shift didn't work out, and now, you know, I go to the pitchers, I go to Bum, and we go over. I went to Johnny yesterday about the shift guys, and he says, do whatever you want. So these guys are buying in. They have confidence that we're going to make the right decision for them. And once in a while, you know, we try to keep those communication lines open still, because they have the final say if they know they're going to do something and force a guy to hit a ball somewhere. We want to be in the loop on that too. We just don't want to say this is what we're doing. So we go to the pitchers, the starting pitchers, and try to get it right.
Yeah, it's great. This is part of the school. This is part of the professor talking, believe me. Because fans think, well, you just show up at the ballpark and, you know, get a hot dog, have a lunch, and go out there, you know, and play. But it's not like that. This is a complicated game.
Well, I like a good hot dog, too. I tell you what, we can use those more often in the clubhouse.
Very good. All right, we'll come back with the professor. Carmen is here. Allie's here. We've got a couple more people to hear from as well, as we talk to the pupils of the professor on this Sunday morning as we wrap up a 2019 baseball season. It should be an amazing, amazing day today at the ballpark. So if you're coming out here, get out here early and figure on staying late for what's going to come after the game today. All right, more coming up right here on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.